This week, Andy Coulson finally succumbed to the first rule of public relations. Never, ever become the story.
The Prime Minister's Director of Communications, Andy Coulson, has resigned. He's been under intense pressure over allegations of phone hacking by the News of the World when he was the paper's editor.
When a spokesman needs a spokesman, said Coulson in a written statement, it's time to move on. The steady drumbeat of revelations about the extent of the use of phone hacking when he was editor of the News of the World had become a distraction, and the Prime Minister was forced to accept his resignation, after reportedly trying to persuade him to stay.
He did a very good job as Director of Communications, both for the government and for the country. He ran the Downing Street press office in a very professional and straightforward and correct way, and I think has done some very good work. But I understand why he wants to go, the things that happened to the News of the World, the stories about that. Obviously, he resigned at the time, and I've always felt he's been punished for the same offence twice, but I quite understand his decision and wish him well for the future.
Coulson stood down from the News of the World in 2007, amid allegations that his reporters routinely hacked into the voicemail accounts of celebrities and other public figures. In front of a Common Select Committee hearing in 2009, he denied knowing that illegal practice was taking place.
During that time, I never condoned the use of phone hacking, and nor do I have any recollection of incidences where phone hacking took place. My instructions to the staff were clear. We did not use subterfuge of any kind unless there was a clear public interest in doing so.
As an editor, Coulson said he took full responsibility for what happened on his watch.
Things went badly wrong under my editorship of the News of the World. I deeply regret it. I suspect I always will. I take the blame because ultimately it was my responsibility. And I'm not asking for any sympathy. I suspect I'm unlikely to get any today. But when I resigned, I gave up a 20-year career with News International and in the process everything that I'd worked towards from the age of 18.
An Essex man to his fingertips and a Tory by inclination, 43-year-old Andy Coulson hails from Wickford near Basildon. Unlike many of the Oxbridge Brigade who staff the national press, Coulson went to the local comp from where he went straight into journalism. He landed his first job on the Basildon Evening Echo. There, it wasn't just his story-getting flair which impressed the man who employed him, Peter Owen.
He was a competent reporter, but a chap who could get in. You know, it's all very well being a doorstepping reporter who can worm their way into a place and get an interview that others can't. Often that can be done by the hard nuts, but you have to be persuasive and gentle and not a bad guy to get in and do that, and Andy was all of those things.
While on the paper, he was sent on a training course. Sylvia Bennett, who taught him shorthand, reads from his end-of-course report card.
Reading his last assessment, it actually says Andy's desperately keen to succeed. He's never been afraid to ask for advice and has worked hard to produce some good stories from his district. He has a good nose for stories and is in his element when hunting around and chasing them up. So I think you can see that even his journalism tutors felt that there was something there, there was a spark there. He was obviously going to go far.
Already showing sure diplomatic touch while barely out of short trousers, Coulson also understood the value of a bulging contacts book. Here he is giving tips for success on kids' TV show Live and Kicking.
My top tip if you want to become a national newspaper journalist, really, is to get interested in the news, to read the newspapers, and to get in touch with your local paper.
And that's exactly what Andy did, starting his career as a junior reporter for the Basildon Evening Echo when he was just 18.
Get in touch with the editor of your local paper, ask to go in on your school holidays, and see if you can get a story. That's the best thing.
Where do you get your stories from, first of all? What are your sources, generally?
It's all about contacts, really. It's making sure that you talk to the right people and that you're in the right place at the right time.
Right.
And really just, you know, about, you know, developing relationships with people where they're going to want to give you stories.
If careers are made as much by timing as talent, it was Andy Coulson's good fortune to join The Sun in 1988. Pre-Heat magazine, Jade, Jordan, Posh and Bex, showbiz news was just then becoming the currency of the age. Coulson and early boss Piers Morgan made their names as showbiz writers, going on to work and edit the newspaper's gossip column, Bizarre. Media consultant and journalist Ian Reeves says Coulson soon learned the art of schmoozing.
A big part of his earlier career was on the showbiz desks, that part of journalism. You know, people think it's easier than it is, and in order to get your way into sort of the inside track on what can be a very shallow world, You need to have that kind of charm and that personality to do the rounds at the parties and to grin and bear it when the PRs are being horrific, and to pretend you love the latest album or whatever it might be. And, you know, he was very successful. He's one of the great successes on the Bizarre Column. A lot of what the News of the World does is very revelatory, dirt-digging, lifting lids which people would prefer remain firmly in place, and often with senior and powerful people too. And yet those are people he might have to have a relationship with and go back to for other stories, to get on side for campaigns and that sort of thing. So it does require a particular kind of diplomacy to succeed at that.
In 2003, Coulson got his big break. At just 34, he was editor of the News of the World, Britain's best-selling red-top newspaper. There, he landed a series of scoops, including David Beckham's alleged offside dalliance with Rebecca Luce. But although he was in his element as a tabloid editor, Coulson is far from typical of the breed. Ian Reeves.
If you were casting a movie about a Fleet Street tabloid newspaper, he wouldn't even make it past the first audition for the editor's role. He's a very unassuming-looking guy, very quietly spoken, thoughtful individual, which is a long way from most people's stereotypical idea of the hard-drinking, fast-talking, swearing whirlwind that was the role of some previous editors.
Despite his reputation as a silkily smooth operator, as an editor, Coulson showed he could play hardball too. He once became involved in a mafia-style feud with Max Clifford over what the PR man saw as unfair coverage of his client, Kerry Katona.
Normally in a situation like that, I mean, over the last 20, 30 years, I've fallen out with lots of editors from time to time. But normally, a week or two later, move on. We've had lots of results, lots of, victories, if you like. But with Andy, it was a bit more personal than that. When I called him to say, it's happened, we've disagreed, move on. There was no response. Fine. So I accept that. See, he decided the minuses outweighed the pluses. I just think that when you're editor of a national newspaper, particularly a Sunday newspaper, and someone comes up with as many major stories as I do, it's best to work together when you can. So to shut that door, from purely a business point of view, to me, wasn't a very mature decision.
Stings, stakeouts, honey traps and paying cash for stories have long been part of the toolkit of the popular press. But when, in 2007, the News of the World's royal reporter Clive Goodman was jailed for phone-tapping, torchlight was shone on the murky backrooms of tabloid journalism. Coulson denies that he had any knowledge of his rogue reporter's actions, but there are those who refuse to take him at his word. It may be literally true, they allege, that he did not personally instruct reporters to break the law, but he must at least have been aware that it was going on. Chris Horry is the author of several books on tabloid journalism.
Well, no one will ever know exactly what he knows, and that's his great strength, that's his defence. It's impossible to prove that he had direct knowledge of these shenanigans. Deniability is the thing. Have they got the proof? And so long as you think they've not got the proof, all you have to do is hang tough, deny everything, and say, well, you might think that, but I'm denying it. And the denial is very often enough.
When David Cameron hired Andy Coulson as Director of Communications on a salary widely reported to be about £450,000, eyebrows were raised in some quarters. The Daily Telegraph's Peter Oborne recalls reacting with dismay.
I was a little horrified that David Cameron, who I regard as a decent man and an honest man, should have employed Andy Coulson, who had recently come on the job market because he had been obliged to resign from the News of the World, where he had been editor and where illegal acts had occurred. And even though Coulson said he'd known nothing about it, as somebody who knows how Fleet Street works, the claim I found very hard to believe, only plausibly made on the basis that Coulson was extremely incompetent at his job, and certainly not competent to be Director of Communications for the Leader of the Opposition. And so I felt that Cameron was making a poor moral decision in employing Coulson.
Yet the Tory leader was known to rely heavily on Coulson's understanding of the tabloids and sharp media instincts, smoothing the transition to power. Tim Montgomery is the founder of the influential blog Conservative Home.
Andy Coulson arrived at probably the lowest point of David Cameron's leadership of the Conservative Party. It was the summer of 2007. Gordon Brown had just become Prime Minister and was riding very high in the polls. The Tories feared an autumn election. They feared they would lose it. And Andy Coulson helped to engineer a dramatic reversal of the position, a renewal of the Conservatives' opinion poll position. He did that by making the party tabloid-friendly. The Conservative Party started talking about crime again, immigration, and of course it had that skin-saving inheritance tax cut at the autumn party conference. So Andy Coulson was absolutely central to renewing the Conservative mission at that incredibly vulnerable time.
For political journalists, Coulson had a reputation for fair dealing. Not for him, the spin doctor school of roughhouse charm. The BBC's Laura Kunzberg.
While Andy Coulson certainly wasn't shy about putting his case, there aren't numerous legends around Westminster of occasions when he lost his rag, when he lost his temper, or when he subjected people to the hairdryer treatment. Certainly, he was very forward in defending his boss. Certainly, he was very effective and determined to put David Cameron's side of things. And it's said that inside Number 10, he was the same. He was known as one of the few people in the Downing Street operation who had the ability and the respect from the Prime Minister to be able to change his mind. But in terms of somebody who enjoyed giving journalists a hard time or screaming and shouting for the sake of it, that's not a reputation that was associated with him.
Coulson was by his boss's side while the Tory leader endured private torment in the public eye.
He had a particularly key role in the kinds of very personal stories that, sadly for David Cameron, he's had to deal with since his time as leader of the opposition. Of course, the sad death of his son, Ivan, also the death of his father, and those personal kinds of stories that David Cameron has had to deal with, whether he has liked it or not in his time in the public eye. And it's something that some people have suggested meant David Cameron was so keen to hang on to Andy Coulson, was that those times that have been personally difficult for David Cameron, that he's had to deal with in the public eye, Andy Coulson played a strategic role.
Time and again, spin doctors who have found themselves in the headlines have ended up spinning out of the revolving door. Andy Coulson will be hoping his resignation will allow him to slip quietly out of the media spotlight. But with ongoing police interest, as well as a wave of civil actions from celebrities like Sienna Miller and Steve Coogan pending, the phone hacking scandal is likely to dog him for some time to come. Peter Oborn.
I mean, he's a talented man, a very intelligent man, and in a way I feel a little sorry for him because I don't think that he's a bad man, but he's got to sort this out. And I think that any organisation which takes on Mr. Coulson is compromising, at the moment, its own reputation. We have to know the truth about what was happening at the News of the World while he was editor.
Profile was presented by James Silver. The producer was Smita Patel.